Following total atomic annihilation, the rebuilding of this great nation of ours may fall to you. That's why we here at Vault Boys WB will take you on an oral tour of the beautiful state of West Virginia. There's no other place to be better prepared for the impending fallout. Now we go live to our team of experts.
Hello, and welcome to yet another week with Vault Boys WV, a mutated podcast crossbreeding our shared history in Appalachia with the post-apocalyptic state in Fallout 76. I am your country road scholar, Dave Chaffins, and joining me is my favorite, son of a Mothman, Austin O'Connor. How you doing, Austin?
I'm good. It feels like we were just doing this. Like, I feel like it hasn't been...
It feels like that we started recording.
Yeah.
And then we had this whole conversation about the secrets of life.
Yeah. We answered the meaning of life.
The meaning of life, all of our great tips of how to play Fallout 76, yeah. The secrets of West Virginia.
We found Jimmy Hoffa.
We found Jimmy Hoffa.
Yeah.
And we met the Mothman. And that's
and then we realized that
the mics weren't recording.
Yeah.
So I mean,
that is that. And truthfully, I think what we were just discussing would have gone down as possibly one of the greatest podcasts of all time.
It would have probably won.
If there's some sort of podcast awards, I think we would have been up there as nominees.
Right.
And so it's a shame that it didn't record. I guess we'll just, you know, people will never know what was discussed. And
there's, in fact, I think, I don't know if I'd call him he's more of like a wise man.
Yeah.
Who once said that this is not the greatest song in the world.
Yeah.
This is just a tribute.
A tribute. Yeah. I think that this episode is a tribute to the greatest podcast.
The 6 minutes. Of prime, like, that's, you'll never...
We were really on our A game for those 6 minutes.
We came in very strong.
Yeah.
We talked about... I mean, we told you everything we talked about.
Everything we talked about was in that 6 minutes.
We
came prepared, and unfortunately, I realized that my microphone was not recording
the entire time. I can guarantee you, since you were hearing both of us... That you can hear us.
Yes.
At least I hope.
Yes.
If this does not work, then you will not be hearing me.
But man, those 6 minutes, I had a tear in my eye at one point because to me, I realized that we were doing something special in those 6 minutes.
I think it was beautiful.
And it was honestly poetic when you think about it.
It's
one of those things like, you know, in The Secret Life of Walter Mitty,
yeah.
When at the end Sean Penn is shooting the snow leopard.
Right.
And then he just decides not to, you know, because
right.
sometimes
and he takes
those
out
beautiful
Stretch
things.
Armstrong and he's like.
Yeah. Well, sometimes those like, you know, the most beautiful things in the world, they don't ask to be seen. They don't really need to be seen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's kind of like the most beautiful podcasts in the world. Mm-hmm. Those 6 minutes were absolutely, I mean, mind blowing.
Mm-hmm.
They don't need to be released. They people don't necessarily need to hear that. Mm-hmm. Because it, you know, just let it, if you love something, let it go. And if it comes back, it
Didn't
was meant to be.
After that, he like go like punch the guy that was in Parks and Rec that was the mayor of Icetown.
Yeah.
Wasn't that like, I love the snow
was
leopard. I'm going to go back and punch my boss.
That was one of his dreams like early in the movie, I think.
Was it?
It was Adam Scott.
Yeah Adam Scott.
I always think Adam Savage was in the beginning. When they're in the elevator.
Yeah.
And he's like, give it to me, man. And it was like you said, it was Stretch Armstrong. And then there was like a whole scene of them surfing on like concrete slabs they pulled up from the road. Like holding on to his arms.
Because he's supposed to be like he's real imaginative and stuff.
To me, very underrated movie. I loved that movie, but you know.
Well, how's your week been?
Week has been good. In kind of your fashion, early in the podcast, I actually had to go to the dentist.
Oh.
On Monday,
are you going to spring it on me?
Listen, this is a surprise.
Okay.
All of these teeth are fake now. I actually got full dentures. No, I'm just kidding. So over the weekend, I started having this weird pain.
Yeah.
I was at a bar on Saturday, and I had gotten a glass of water.
Uh-huh.
Lame. Oh, yeah. My friends made fun of me. So I got this glass of water, and I was just, you know, trying to stay hydrated.
You were downing that glass of water. You were like, I'm gonna make,
because you know I'm not trying to, you know, I'm not a, I've taken a step back from yes. you know drinking when I go out and everything. So I was having
you're
a
doing
glass
some
of water.
Adulting.
Yeah, I was having a glass of water, mm-hmm. and I bit down on there was some ice. It was ice water, and I kind of yeah. I was gonna crunch some ice, mm-hmm. and I bit down, and I felt this like excruciating pain.
Jeez.
And I was like, that's not good. And it was right where I had a filling when I was a kid. Mm. So I was like, maybe I just cracked that filling open. Mm. So I got in Monday morning. I go in. And I'm still in a little bit of pain. Mm. And I told the dentist, and she's looking through everything. And she's like, Austin, I don't see anything. You know, everything looks fine. And she's like, let's do some x-rays. Well, right now I don't currently have dental insurance because I'm waiting because I have to do the open enrollment with my job
with
now.
Your job, yeah.
Because I was still under the impression where I'm 25 mm-hmm. that I still had until my 26th birthday to be on my mom's dental insurance.
Here's the thing. To interrupt real yeah. quick, I spent a while where I thought I had dental insurance.
Yeah.
And then I was in a discussion with, and this is like right when I got my first job out of college.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had the regular health insurance that they had at the company. Man, I could yeah. add on for dental. I was like, no, I think my parents have that because they had specifically said. And then I was talking to them. It was like several years ago. I was like, you know, I'm thinking about going to get my teeth cleaned. They were like, well, do you have dental insurance? I was like, well, I sure hope so.
It's like, do I?
Do I have dental
you
insurance?
You should know.
They were like, no, we haven't had you insured since you were like 20.
Oh, man.
I was like,
oh boy! Thanks,
oh,
guys.
No.
Yeah. So what happened was I thought I was under my mom still, but I'm still under her health insurance.
Yeah. Mm.
And I'd forgotten at my last job I had signed up for dental through there, so I had it through
so
there.
You had it through there.
Forgot I had done that, so I skipped open enrollment when I started my next job, and so I have to wait until like July for it to kick in. So she's like, "Let's do X-rays." I was like, "Let's not do X-rays because that's like $1,500 right there for that." So
yep.
She looked at everything, and apparently, according to them, I have a stress fracture in my jaw. She asked me, "You been chewing ice?" I said, "Yeah, that's actually when I felt the pain." I've chewed ice my whole life. It's something I shouldn't do.
People do, you know, I didn't realize this till a few years ago, but people chew ice pretty regularly.
Yeah.
That's like
I used to think I was like anemic, I think is the condition.
Yeah, that's
that they do that a lot.
That's a telling, yeah. yeah. It's like low iron in your blood, you start chewing ice.
I've always
just... Because I think my sister had that, and she was chewing ice for years, and then she went to the doctor and was like, I think you're iron deficient. Do you yeah. always chew ice? And she was like, yeah.
It's such a weird telltale. It's like such a weird sign. But I've had my blood work checked before, and they always said it was fine. There was no deficiency. I think I just, from an early age, I did it, and then it almost became habitual. Like when I would have a drink, I would always kind of chew the ice a little bit.
Yeah.
And she was like, don't do that anymore. And last night, I had gotten a sweet tea from Bojangles. And I found myself chewing it on this side, like on the opposite side of my mouth.
Like,
and I had to stop. I was like, okay.
No,
like, I can't. I was like, I'm already down this side for like a month until this heals a little bit. So
no.
I can't do double. So, yeah. So a little bit of pain. Mm. I'm kind of like, the way I'm looking at it, like the way Michael Jordan played through the flu, that's me right now.
That's you right now.
You're
here.
Truthfully, like,
you're flapping
your
jaw about.
I think this is just as impressive. Like, he had the flu, cool, and he dropped like, you know, like 40 points, whatever, who
right.
cares? But, and it was the playoffs, I think. I don't know, whatever.
Right.
But like me, you know, like I'm doing a lot of talking right now.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel great.
No.
But like I'm powering through. And I hope that our listeners understand
yes.
that like I'm really giving it my all right now.
You are.
So I'm not saying anything crazy. I'm not like trying to brag. I just think that what I'm doing right now is more impressive than Michael Jordan playing a playoff game through the flu. And I don't think that's that outlandish to say. You guys can let me know if you think it is,
tell
but
me,
I'm just going with
I'm
it. I think that
what.
It's a, I don't know. I do it for you guys.
Everybody send like just like sit down to yourselves and send like a spiritual stim pack to Austin right
yeah.
now and just like heal him.
I thought I was going to get a shot in the gum that day because I was under the impression I was going to have to get my
yep.
filling fixed. So I went in there ready for a needle in my gum. Came out and well, they were really nice though. It took a while to get seen because it was an emergency, but
With the emergency situation,
yeah.
it's tough. With any emergency medical situation, unless you're like dying.
Yeah.
It's
my
tough.
Dentist, she's a sweetheart, so it was
That's
nice.
Good.
But yeah, so you know, just powering through
the
workday. powering through the podcast.
Getting it ready. Well, with that, we will move into our next segment.
This has been Dental Talk with Dave and Austin.
All right, Austin, this week on From Appalachia, I didn't bring the notes from the last Inside the Vault because it was pretty cut and dry. I did think it was funny that they were like, there's a regular time that they released them, and they were like, okay, we're going to push it off a day so we can get more information.
Yeah.
And then when they released it, it was just like, we're putting the bug fixes out.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay.
Cool.
Excellent. Yeah. And then we got a full list of the bug fixes within Fallout 76, and it was like somewhere like of around 150 different bug fixes that they implemented in the last patch. So that's really good.
Very nice.
They fixed a big method that people were using to duplicate items that was causing server stress. People were intentionally creating stress on the server so that way they could trick the server into believing that after they put items in a container that they were both in a container and on their person. So they were essentially overloading by there was a few methods overloading the servers and
those little
duplicating
rascals.
These items, and then they were even selling them. They were selling them on like different forum marketplaces for thousands and thousands of caps, and then you started to see them pop up on eBay where people were like, you could pay $25 to get like a 3-star legendary shotgun that explodes and, you know, has is holographic and, you know,
it's like is it really worth like
no
going through that much trouble? Just play the game. Just do your thing, man.
Yeah. I am not people are really weird.
I don't know about that.
Another one of the things is that there's like, and it's still an issue, is that bobbleheads are a consumable item within the game.
Yeah,
they give you boosting effects. They can. I'm pretty sure that they can still stack.
Mm-hmm.
So that means somebody can duplicate 1,000 bobbleheads, take 60 of them, and get like 2,000,000,000% times more,
right,
gun damage. Means that you could walk up to a player in Pacifist and just one-shot them without them engaging you.
I saw a few people complaining about that.
There's just some, and I think it's a lot of these people are gonna die off from playing it. I think.
Yeah, hopefully.
People that are really trying to like,
we can only hope
play the system because it's really. Like, the game, like, the online portion of it is designed for kind of almost, like, fun and silliness rather than... It's not very competitive. It's not a very competitive game whatsoever.
Yeah, I feel like everyone... I've never had someone just intentionally attack me to, like, one-up me.
There's no goal other than just, like, the fun of attacking another person.
Yeah, and every single person I've come across, it has been, like, a wave, and then... just something silly, like just a couple emotes, and then maybe we team up. Like, everyone seems to just be like, I'm just going to have a good time.
Everybody that I've... Except I've had one instance where... this is my only bad experience with a bad player. Where... And it was all, like... I mean, it was all through, like, legitimate means. His original means. Well, anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Went to a bunker of sorts out there at the Greenbrier. And he had managed to turn all of the robots in this bunker hostile against players. And so me and my buddy walked in, and he had a bounty on his head. And so we were going to go in there and collect on it, and it was like 200 caps or something.
Oh.
And we went and killed him, and he had like this inordinate amount of junk. So he was probably... duplicating items. So we took it, stored it in our stash. We killed him. We managed to get through the robots because, like, you just run through them and you can kill the guy. And the guy was just running around naked because he thought he was funny. And then he got really mad.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were at a workshop and this guy just, like, kept showing up and kept attacking us. And we just kept on respawning because we didn't have anything. And he was trying to get his stuff back. And he got on the mic and he was, like, cussing at us and being like, I can't believe you guys. You guys suck. You guys are, you know... being wimps and other other choice words.
Yeah.
To us, but
people take it too seriously.
That was in like the first month of playing it, and ever since then, I've had all very nice. People just come to the squat and gobble. They give me a thumbs up. They give me a heart emote.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, overall, like, everybody I've talked to, or even if I'm not on a mic and I run into somebody, it's typically like a hey. You know, they'll wave or follow me around for a little bit.
Yeah.
And I've had people, you know, offer me stim packs or offer to trade. Everybody seems to be really chill, which I've enjoyed. And it just, that was my fear, and we talked about that in previous episodes, was, you know,
that people weren't going to behave in like a nice way and make the game unenjoyable.
I didn't know what to expect.
Yeah.
It was sort of,
And
then we've, you know, I've gotten the chance to play with a few of the listeners, and you've played with some of us. And
yeah, I want to talk about that, but I also want to talk about, so I want to get down to your brass tacks here, because... Mm-hmm. Let me tell you started playing Fallout 76 in the beta, and you were like, I don't know, man.
I was just skeptical because there were, it's funny to say because, we do a podcast on the game.
Yeah.
I love the world of Fallout.
But we have feelings.
Yeah. I love the world of Fallout, and I love West Virginia. So I'm always, you know, wanting to discuss it.
Right.
This game in particular at first, the game and I got off to a rocky start.
Yeah.
And
I just like went full hog.
You went all in. You were all in from the jump. And I told you a few times, I was like, man, I want to love this game.
Yeah.
But I just couldn't get past a lot of the issues still.
Mm-hmm.
But I understood the issues. That was the thing. I wasn't like, I hate this game. I'm never going to play it. But like some people were. Right. I wasn't like that. I was just like, I was frustrated.
Yeah.
With a lot of the problems I was having.
Yes.
And I took some time off and I finished everything I could on Red Dead and played a couple other games. And then I really kind of took a few weeks off from video games around the holidays.
Just for the holidays,
I didn't want to play much.
Yeah.
But
you got back from the holidays.
After that, and I told you, I was like, I think, you know.
You made a New Year's resolution on an episode of this podcast that I want to play more Fallout.
I said I want to give it an honest chance. Like, I want to get into it, and even if I get frustrated, I'm going to keep pushing through.
Yeah.
And I did. And you helped me, and a few other people helped me.
It started with, I was like, okay, we're just going to play together. We're just going to go and hang out and play together.
Yeah.
And we booted up, and we were just hanging around, just like trying to go through and do stuff. And then we got joined in by
J Max. That's my dude right there. I was playing with him the other day. Mm-hmm. He has helped me a lot as well. J Max. There were a few others, but I don't remember. It was funny because we've been joined by people that don't listen to the show. But then there have been
people
that do listen
to
the show.
I've had people walk up to me and puke in front of me at the squad and gobble, and I'm like, Do you know what you just did? It's like when you're in the fraternity and a guy comes up to you and does a secret handshake and you're like, are you sure?
Yeah. And then it's like, oh, okay, yeah, okay, so you're not a listener. Mm-hmm. We were playing with J Max. We played with my buddy Steven from the UK.
Yeah,
he's played with us, which I want to give him a shout out. He and his wife just had a baby boy.
That's right.
Yesterday, I believe. So congratulations. And then we've played with a few other people. The fun thing was getting my buddy Mike, who has really never played an RPG in his life.
Yeah. Well, it was interesting. It was funny that
you were there for it.
I was there for it. But the first night that we played it together, the listeners that we were playing with were from West Virginia.
Yeah.
And so the guy was like, yeah, I'm from Clarksburg.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's pretty destroyed in this game.
Yeah. It's like, well, yeah. So like they knew as much as we did about West Virginia.
Yeah.
But it was funny because we got my buddy Kevin. He got it for Christmas.
Yeah.
Because he wanted to try it. So he was on. So then it was me, you, Kevin, and then Mike was in the party. And Mike,
he just joined the party and he was playing some other game.
So he always plays typically either like Fortnite or he loves sports games. He's a big baseball fan.
He's playing
like
Madden,
that.
I think.
And it's just funny. I'm glad you got to listen to it because Mike, it was like as we kept talking about Fallout, he started feeling left out. He was like, He was like, are you guys playing that Fallout game? We were like, yeah.
We kept on talking about, like, oh, you got to repair your weapons. Yeah. And you got to make sure. Do you have any acid? I've got acid. Yeah.
Then he heard that you build fort. Like, you could build your fort. Yeah. He was like, oh, you build in that game?
Okay. Is it like Fortnite?
Yeah. Like, he was like, well, honestly, like, you guys aren't. And then I could tell. He was like, you guys aren't going to, like, make fun of me for being bad at it. And I knew we had him at that point. And then he literally downloaded it right then and there.
He bought it, like, on the spot. Yeah.
And what's funny is it's been, like, he played with us a little that night. And he's played a lot with me since then. He and I have jumped on. And it's been funny as he's followed me around on quests to listen to someone who had really never played an RPG before learn the world of Fallout. Especially with this one being the first Fallout that he plays.
And not just the first RPG that he has played.
Yeah. So there's been a lot of, I think I've heard him say, bro, I don't know what I'm doing. I have no idea what's going on. I don't know. And, like, he'll just say that over and over again. But he also says that he's having fun. So that's been good. And he's like almost over level 20 now. Like, he's working
he's
up.
There.
Which it's helped because I kind of did the same thing with him that you did with me, where I was like, get a couple shots in on this guy and I'll kill him and you'll get the XP. Yeah. And he's kind of roamed around with me a little bit. But it's been fun seeing him start, because I think he enjoys the game now. I think he wants to play, like, Fallout 3 and 4 and New Vegas. He's mentioned, like, wanting to maybe go back and learn more about the kind of the base of, like, where the game came from. Mm-hmm. Which I told him, I was like, start with 3. I was like, just play 3. I was like, I told him 4 is essentially 76, just not online and in Boston. Like, it's. Yeah. You're going to get kind of the same
feel. It's the same mechanics outside of the leveling system.
Yeah. I told him 3 is definitely... the game itself might make more sense if you go back and play 3 and get a feel for that. Like, because that's where I think most people fell in love with Fallout.
Well, if he had played Fallout 76 before the 2019 started, he could have gone back and played Fallout 1 and 2 and really gotten it. Because guess what? I have played some of, just because it was freaking free.
You've been going back.
I've been going back and playing Old Boys.
I'm sure those were like top down, like, weren't they, like?
Yeah, they were like top down, like CRPGs. Yeah. Like, they were pretty
basic.
They're pretty basic, but a lot of, in my opinion, Fallout 76 is the most, like, mechanically. Not necessarily mechanically, because combat is different. But, like, some of the, like, interaction that you have, like, in multiplayer is interaction that you would have, like... Mm-hmm. So, like, everybody in the game that you can talk to, you can trade with.
Yeah.
Like, that's one thing. You could trade with anybody. You could just, like, open it up, and they may have, like, 20 caps, or they may have a bunch of different stuff. And it's kind of a similar thing in, like, Fallout. And then people are so sparse in that game, and you go these long distances, and... It's interesting going back.
I'm sure it's cool, because then you get even more of a feel for where everything originated.
Well, it's interesting to see because Fallout 3 is, like, where Elder Scrolls and the old Fallouts met, and I think that it did a lot of things. It did a lot of things right and continued on a formula that works pretty well. And it's cool to see those similarities.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. But it's been, like, it's just been fun because, like I said, going back to the game and giving it a second chance, it really was just, I had to break through that wall. Like, and I've mentioned that to you. Mm-hmm. I couldn't pinpoint what it was that was keeping me from enjoying it. It was just a combination.
Did you find out what it was?
I think, honestly, I was overthinking a lot of it, but at the same time, I wasn't paying attention to things I should have been paying attention to, like building my base, my camp.
Yeah.
And having that camp, I think just in the past with Fallout games, I've always been more of just a run and gun, just roam around.
You were going from, you're not focused on, like, you're just going to I would quest just to go, quest to quest.
Yeah, I just wanted to learn more about the story.
Where this game is more to run like, around. This is my area.
Yeah.
I go out and I do a few things and I come back.
You're more of an actual,
like, decompress.
You're
everything.
More of an actual settler. Like, in especially Fallout 3, I just went wherever I wanted to go. And as I leveled up, I got stronger to where I didn't have to worry about it.
You didn't need to go to Rivet City all the time. Yeah, you didn't need to go to Megaton.
I just went and did whatever I wanted. Yeah. If I wanted to go up here to this corner of the map and just look around. But now I've found, it seems like every time I do a quest or if I'm out just trying to, you know, level up, collect things, fast travel back to my base, my camp, check everything out, get some water, get like I've got some plants, do that.
Repair any repairs,
maybe add some stuff if I've got the parts, and then I'm back out. And so that has become more of like a stability for me, I think, and it's made me level up a lot better because I'm just preparation for what I'm about to go do is now better. And I didn't think about the game that way before I started doing the camp. I still was looking at it as, oh, I'm just going to go run and gun. But I don't think that that's really, I mean, some people probably do it, but I just think it's so much more feasible. And it just makes more sense in this game to have a camp.
Yeah.
And it made me slow down. I was like, okay, I don't have to do as much. Like, I don't have to be stressed out by all of these things going on. I can, if I want to, I can just go back to my base. Like, I can just go.
Yeah, you can just start. Sometimes, take care of whatever I need. I'll be out and I'll die to something. I'll be like, I'm just going back to my camp. I'm not going to respond.
You just feel safe. Like, I'm going to go back here. And I can chill out and not worry about anything. I can maybe I need to, in real life, I need to send a text real quick.
Yeah.
I can't just, I don't feel comfortable. I'll get killed out, by an enemy if I'm not looking. Mm-hmm. I go back to my base for like 5 or 6 minutes. Mm-hmm. Like I said, get some water, get my food,
it's like a mental
scrap
reset.
everything. If I need to send a text, I need to run into the kitchen, get something to drink. Like, It's like base. Mm. It's like when you're playing tag and you're safe on home base. You just go back and chill. And so I started doing that, and then now I'm addicted to trying to build and change and everything about the camp
and the plans and the plans. Where the plans are and gotta go get those
crafting with the weapons. I've gotten into that now. So it's the thing that I've had a trouble with. My turrets, like, they're not doing their job.
Here's the thing, and here's an honest thing.
Yeah,
worthless.
It's
it's a waste.
They kill like one of every five enemies for me. Like, I'll be inside and I'll start hearing mole rats going crazy like against the barrier.
They cost too much to repair. They take up too much of your budget.
Yeah,
they don't do anything.
I have like three set.
I was like, I'm gonna get the missile turrets.
Yeah,
because like I want to like. Somebody's got to have that perk card to build these missile turrets, and like I want to be the guy that can do that.
Yeah.
And I did that, and like I had four missile turrets versus a Deathclaw, and they were like up above, and I was fighting the Deathclaw, and I was doing way more damage than the missile turrets were.
Yeah, it's weird because sometimes mine do work. Like I spawned back, I fast traveled to my base, and there were like three super mutants, and they took them out, and I was like, oh, awesome. And then it was like there was like one of the wild mongrel dogs or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like two of those.
Yeah.
I watched it because I just wanted to see what would happen. Mm-hmm. I waited like 3 minutes and they still hadn't taken them out. They just kept missing or just not firing at all. I was like, what do I have these for?
That's why I moved the Squat and Gobble from above the steakhouse in the Cranberry Bog down into Charleston. Cause I was I was fighting level 50 super mutants. Every time I got on, anytime somebody visited my camp, it was like a never ending onslaught of super mutants.
Yeah.
And so now
I met up with, so there was a guy I played with the first night the game came out. Mm. I don't know his real name. I know him as Ski.
Ski.
Yeah. So Ski, I'll call him Ski.
Ski.
He's like a level probably 80 something now.
Yeah.
And so he has set his base up in the Cranberry Bog. Mm. And I was like, you know what? I just want to see it. I was like, I know I'm not leveled up enough at level 30, but I want to see it. So we go down there and he was taking out some Scorch Beasts and I was getting a couple shots, getting some experience. Well, this last one, man, we couldn't get it. Every time we tried to fire on it, it would fly away. I go get in his base. It was right there under Fort Defiance, like right on the outskirts of Watoga.
Yeah.
And I go inside and I was checking my phone real quick because I had a text message. I swear to God, all of a sudden, that thing just destroyed his base. Like in like a matter of like 20 seconds,
he
dropped like the radiated mist, whatever it is.
Blight.
Yeah. Like it dropped that. And so my health is just dropping. And I was like, hey, dude. And he, like, had gone into Fort Defiance. I was like, you might want to come back. I was like, because I'm not doing any damage on this thing. So then I die. And like as soon as I respawn, his base is just gone. Yeah. And I told him, I was like, that's why my buddy moved his base to Charleston. But it was cool because he had it set up on like a lead deposit. Like a lead deposit. And yeah. he had the machines that were mining it all for him. So I think he recently found another deposit.
Yeah,
that would
there's
be
a
better.
Lot of deposits. I originally had a deposit camp. And I did junk. It was just like a junk deposit. It was over near Fort Defiance, the original one. But yeah, there's a lot of great places for.
I think for mine is right next to a copper deposit. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to put it over it because it was kind of hilly.
Yeah, I put it. It's always in a weird location. Yeah.
Mine is near, I think, Fort or Camp McClintock.
Camp McClintock.
Yeah, McClintock. Yeah, so it's near that. And there's, I'll tell you where it is. It's near Sutton.
Sutton.
And there's kind of like the road that goes up through Sutton, and there's another road over here, like a highway.
Yeah.
And there's a grassy. Mm-hmm. A lot of trees. I found this big open spot between the two roads, and I just stretched it across it.
It's funny when you're talking about this game, and it's like these are real life places, and so like this conversation to somebody that doesn't listen to them be like, Sutton, you know, the road that there's, you know, the road that goes like over there by it, and then you've got the highway, and then I decided I want to go camping right kind of like in between those.
Yeah, but it's funny because as much kind of slack as I gave the game at the beginning, I've gotten to the point where
you're in it.
I've gotten really into it, and I'm playing catch up right now. It's been really fun to again play with some listeners. I'm sorry if I haven't gotten to play with you. I've gotten some invites, but it always seems like it's when either I'm about to log off or if I log in on my phone.
Yeah.
If I'm checking my app on my phone, I guess sometimes it shows that I'm online, and I've gotten invitations, and I've been at like Walmart or something, so I haven't obviously been able to accept it. So again, if I have seemingly ignored your invite or your request, it's not intentional. I promise you.
It's not intentional.
I would love to play with as many people as possible. So if you see me on, keep sending the invites. If I'm there, I will accept it. So. There's that. But
well, you know what? We're going to crucify you. You know, this is a collective.
I don't want to seem like a jerk. I don't want anyone to feel like, I'm just like, I'm too good to play with you. No, it's more than likely either because I'm like stuffing my face with food and I'm not even at my PlayStation or I'm about to leave my apartment. But yeah, it's been fun because, and like I told you, I finally kind of made my way over to Harper's Ferry and I'm starting to get into the mire a little bit more now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Finding the power armor was clutch. I had the power armor suit. I just didn't have the actual armor.
The actual armor. Once you get the actual armor.
Yeah. And I'm missing a left leg armor. But having the helmet, the torso, all of that good stuff has been very beneficial in me staying alive longer when I'm going up against higher level enemies, which has then in turn obviously increased my level.
Right.
It's funny how that works, isn't it? You know, killing higher level,
killing
enemies
high level enemies,
staying alive. Wow, you get better at the game.
Yeah.
But it's been cool, and I obviously am working toward. I think at level 35, I have another set of power armor that I can actually wear.
Can actually wear.
So I'm getting closer to that. So we'll get there.
My
biggest thing is fusion cores. It seemed like before I had the power armor, I would see them everywhere,
You should have been playing the game, Austin, when the fusion cores like fell from the sky.
Were they everywhere?
And it was just like you killed a Robo Brain, and they every time they dropped like 100% fusion cores, and you go and you could like
all of the ones I find are like 50%.
You could go to the power plants and you could start their generators, and then you were getting like 4 fusion cores every 20 minutes. Like,
well, that's the thing. I've started to maybe see a little bit more of. I've discovered a few locations where it seems like every time I reload into a new world every day, there's one
some,
there.
Yeah.
So I'm at least kind of staying consistently. I think I have like 9 right now, so I'm good. Mm-hmm. But
I have a location for wood that I go to. That
I always go to the lumber yard up in the top left of the map. Where do you go?
I'll say it on the podcast just because I like helping people, but I'm afraid if I say it, it'll get patched out because every time I go there, I get like 300 wood in like 2 minutes. Like,
where is it?
I think it's called Sylvan and Sons Logging Camp. It's in the Savage Divide. It's on the like upper right side, like it's below the pumpkin house.
I still haven't gone to the pumpkin house.
Yeah, it's like way below the pumpkin house, and it's this tent. And if you have the perk for harvesting wood, it's like a ton of log piles just all together. And so I was like, I wonder how I'm gonna go. Like, so I've been going through each location and trying to discover them. And so I found this camp, and I was like, okay, there's a lot of wood here. Let me put on this thing. Let me see how much I can get. And I looked at my inventory. I was like, oh, 300 wood. Okay. That's a lot.
Yeah. When I go to the lumber yard and the it's way up.
Way up in the forest.
It's like the top left, very top left of the map.
I've been up there.
Typically, the only problem is there's a lot of super mutants. But typically, I can leave there with 200 or 300, but it takes a little longer because it's a little more spread out. But yeah, I've found like Camden Park, great place to find that fusion core there and their generator. The pharmaceutical place just outside of Morgantown is another good one. And there's a lot of junk to find, a lot of loot. So yeah, I just think it's funny because some of my friends that I've talked to, they're like, oh yeah, I have like 70 fusion cores.
Yeah,
because they said early on it was just kind of just everywhere. So I don't know. I'm excited to get out of the Raider armor.
You used to be able to store fusion cores on power armor so that they wouldn't weigh anymore. And so my Ultra Sight power armor I never use, and so it has like 14 fusion cores on. But once I take them off, I can't put them back on because it's been patched out, and so it's just like. That's like the rainy day supply of fusion cores. It's like whenever I run out. But I used to run around in power armor all the time, and now I don't.
See, like right now I am, but I feel like once I get up higher again, I'll stop.
Yeah.
But for now, just how much it's helped me level up way quicker. I mean, this is great.
It really augments your defense and your resistance. Yeah.
I feel like I can take on anything in it. Like, I don't think I've died in power armor yet.
Yeah.
But before, it was like, you know, I'm going up against a bunch of, like, level 12, 13, 14 super mutants shooting at me. And if I'm not careful, like, I got to watch out. Like, you know, I'm almost level 30, but
so
they
you're
can,
like Iron Man 1.
Yeah.
And you need to get to the point where Tony's like, am I Iron Man without the suit?
Yeah. It's, you know. Right now, like, I'm actually literally almost Iron Man 1 because I'm in such a makeshift Raider suit. Like, I'm in, like, an old rusty, like, just rusted out piece of crap suit.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to get into, like, some Brotherhood something, you know.
You can get the Excavator one.
Someone was telling me about one that would be pretty easy to get. I got this one. I went up to, I think I was in Clarksburg when I found it.
45s, 51s, and 60s spawn randomly. Yeah. And I think those are different now of how they spawn. It used to be, so I did a lot of like jumping between servers for a while to get the 51 that I wanted. And in the process of getting the 51 I wanted, I got the 45 and the 60 as well. So it was like, well,
I ended up
catch them all.
I found another one at Camden Park. You know, under the roller coaster, they have the little setup down there. And then there were a couple other ones I found. In due time, I'll find it.
You'll get it. My thing to give you, well, first of all, here's the thing. Let's go back.
Okay.
You're over here on the Twitter talking some smack.
Yeah, well, Mondo Burger, I decided like it wasn't fair to you. So I just made it a normal camp again.
So Mondo Burger is gone.
Lives on in our hearts. You got to go out on top, man. I went out on top.
You went out on top? Is that the case? Yeah.
Went out on top.
Do you have any grand plans? Maybe once you get some more plans, you get some more stuff.
I'm just going to start, like, I'm really interested in, like, philanthropy now. Like, I don't really need to do, like, I don't need to sell stuff to people and to do all of this competition with inferior restaurants. And I went into 2019 saying love and positivity. That's all I'm about. And so I don't have any room for it. You know, I think that my plan now is just to help others. I think that's all we can do as a society in real life and in Appalachia. So it's, Yeah, I think.
Well,
yeah.
You see, the theme of Fallout is that capitalism rules.
Yeah. See,
if there's anything that Liberty Prime taught me, it's that. So, the Squat and Gobble recently, so as you know, food. We're big into food.
Yeah, I mean, it's not great food.
There's only one other place that we could possibly go in the land of selling these items.
Yeah.
Drugs.
Yeah.
So I have found a bunch of recipes for Psycho and and the like Overdrive and Fury and different stuff, and with the different perks for Chemistry and Super Duper and all this different stuff. I have been amassing a hoard of drugs to sell.
Well, I hope it was worth it because the police are on their way.
I'm just saying, they can come get me. My cannibal butt will be sitting in the Squat and Gobble, which ideally, by the way, I didn't even plan this, but then I thought about the Squat and Gobble. What do you got to do to be a cannibal? Got to squat and gobble. So there you go. That's
I'm done.
That's
the,
it's
done.
Like it's like now like immemorializing the cannibal ways.
Mm-hmm.
I'm waiting on Player Vending to come out, and then I'll have my lineup of items, and it'll be like
your line,
my line. Yes, it's like the official Dave Chaffins of Vault Boys WV Squat and Gobble Premier Designer Consumable line. And it'll be that long, and I'll have to copyright it, and it'll be a pain in the butt, but I'll do it.
That makes me think, maybe we need Vault Boy merch.
That makes me think, what are we going to, is it going to be me, like a picture of me,
I think,
bend over, devouring.
I was going to say, where are you going with this, man? I was like, hold on, you can't have a pause after that. are you just like turned around, like, bent over for the camera? Like, what were we going for here? I could, like, we could do graphic tees.
We could do
Mondo Burger over here, just towering over your puny little establishment.
No, I don't think. You know what? I'm going to run a poll and see who likes the now dead Mondo Burger.
Mondo Burger is not dead.
Oh, really? Where is it?
Listen, heroes get remembered, but legends never die. So
Mondo Burger lives in our hearts, is what you're trying to say.
Yeah, it's never dead. It's never truly gone. Once a week, I go by where it was and pay my respects.
I did manage in the last episode, one final thing, is I managed to fulfill my promise, and I ended up building the Thirsty Moth, which you haven't been to the new Thirsty Moth yet. You saw a prototype version.
I saw the prototype version
of it.
But no, I have not yet been to the new one.
New Thirsty Moth is attached to the Squat and Gobble.
Yes.
You have to go down the alleyway in, but so it's like a hidden entrance.
Do you have like a guard, like a guy that you have to walk by and be like, "What's up, Benny?" And
he lets you in. It's so narrow, you want to think of it.
Yeah.
And so you go down there, you go in, and it's like a bar, like on the street. Like you go in, you walk in, and
so like it's a narrow little walkway that no one would think there's anything down.
Right.
It's genius.
So you go up the stairs, and up the stairs, I've got my full bar. I've got the chemistry station.
Yeah.
I've got a grand piano. Yeah. It's like a piano bar, pool table, chairs, and some what?
Poker.
I wish I had poker. Yeah. Now, that would be, if they added in, here's
that
the thing.
Cool.
If they added in poker and blackjack like they had in New Vegas in this game, I'm done.
That would be pretty cool. I mean, think about it. You could run a poker club. Like, you could legit, like, I mean, that's crazy.
And let me tell you something. That's wild. That's wild. Sam.
Maybe with some future DLC or patch updates.
And get some poker, get a...
I don't know.
That would be good. Have like a New Vegas season.
That would be cool.
Good.
That would be real cool.
Put in some of the songs from New Vegas on the radio station.
You know what, though?
Get that NCR, you could get that Ranger armor, and you don't have to call it, you could call it West Virginia Ranger armor.
True.
And you get like see?
Think about this, though. Like, we haven't even gotten to mods yet in this game. I'm excited. I think there's some cool possibilities for mods with 76.
I'm just interested in seeing, like, because, like, obviously they've got to go through and they've got to get these bugs fixed. And they've got faction PvP coming, which I'm curious about. Yeah. The player vending, of course, I'm curious about. And then they're adding on servers that don't have any of the PvP restrictions. So it's just like,
I mean, but realistically, I think people are, I believe people are going to come running back to the game once they realize it's fixed.
Yeah.
And they're doing a lot more cool things.
I would like to see, yeah, while I'm on the subject of that, I would like to see those seasons though. Like a New Vegas season, a Fallout 3 season where you get Tunnel Snake stuff. And like,
I think it would be cool. I'm just speaking of seasons literally, I think it would be cool if they did weather changes.
I think that that would be cool.
Especially in the forest.
I think they could do it just in the forest.
If there's growth, you know, have
because
winter.
Because it's the most traveled area. That is
well, it's already
most,
kind of fall there, but.
Well, it's like the perpetual perfect West Virginia season there.
Yeah.
Whatever, so, whatever that be.
I just think it would be cool to see snow in certain regions.
Yes.
And I don't know. I just think it's something they could maybe toy around with, which I'm sure that idea has at some point crossed their minds. If they will bring that to fruition, who knows?
We will see.
It would be cool to see, though.
Yes. So with that, we'll get into our next segment. So, Austin, this week I've got I would call it a mini topic. And it's not particularly West Virginia related, other than it just kind of the concept of it is unique to Fallout and to some of the things that we have here. Mm-hmm. But the Raiders. In Fallout 76.
Raiders. That's an NFL joke for you there.
I'm not familiar. Is that like
topical?
Is it the Tampa Bay Raiders?
Oh my God.
Are we talking about the Tampa Bay Raiders?
We're not talking about the Tampa Bay Raiders.
Are they in Tampa Bay still?
The Oakland Raiders. They were never in Tampa. That's the Buccaneers in Tampa Bay. God. Big NFL guy.
There's too many Pirates. You got like what ECU? You got the Pirates.
That's college.
There.
That's not even the NFL.
You got like the what is it? You got the Pittsburgh Penguins or Pirates or whatever.
Penguins.
Is it the Pirates or the Pirates up there?
The Penguins. Classic.
No, the Pirates.
Classic
are the,
looting. No, yes, the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Are they a football team?
They are a baseball team.
Oh, they're a baseball team.
You have
okay.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
What about
the Oakland Raiders? Well, actually, they're about to be the Las Vegas Raiders.
Oh.
Which actually, perfect.
Perfect. Yes.
I hate that they're leaving Oakland, but it makes sense.
You've never been to Oakland, so shut your mouth.
No, I'm just saying the fact that Las Vegas is going to have the Oakland Raiders. The Raiders have a kind of notoriety about them of the type of just hard-nosed, sometimes very, we're just going to say gritty football that they play.
Well, that's reminiscent.
And very, a lot of people think they're dirty, very dirty team sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So going to Vegas, it just makes sense. I see the vision. I don't have a problem with it.
I'm down with it.
Plus Oakland, like you, right across the bay, you've got the San Francisco 49ers. They've got a team. They're fine. Whatever, they don't need two teams right there.
Well, on a different Raider note, outside of the Tampa
the
Bay
Raiders.
Pinguineers,
Raiders,
snowshoe, winter place, the other ski resorts,
Canaan Valley, Timberline, yeah.
What other ones? You got any others?
In terms of resorts in West Virginia,
not like just like hills that you sled on.
Ogilby up near Wheeling has skiing, but they're not as they are like a resort, and it's an amazing place. But in terms of like an actual like you're in the mountains and there's all sorts of crazy trails. Those that I listed are more so the actual resorts. Ogilby just has like winter sports in other ways, but it's still a great place. But
so they've kind of, in the world of Fallout 76, combined all of these, and before the bombs fell, all of these winter sports resorts were all along one mountain range, essentially right in the middle in the Savage Divide, which I'm sure they didn't call the Savage Divide.
Savage. Welcome to the Savage Divide.
So, essentially, in the game, all of these well-to-do, some would say upper-class people, were up skiing. Wealth. When the bombs fell, and they were like, okay, we need help. And so they contacted the people in Charleston, which were at the time the proto responders.
Yeah.
And they were like, we don't have the resources to send them up to your mountain. And so,
y'all are on your own.
And so what they decided was they were like, okay, well, we'll just eat what we have here. They ate what they have there. And then they were like, okay, we need things.
Yeah.
And nobody's giving us anything, so we've got to go take some stuff.
Yeah.
And
thus
that's how
began.
Thus began the Raiders.
Raiders.
Is that Raiders?
So this it stems. That's it's a long football story, but that's the you have to say it that way. Raiders.
Raiders. Well, anyways, there was five factions that were created.
Yes.
My favorite being the Gourmands, mm-hmm. which is probably most definitely on the nose reference to the New Vegas Raider clan that owned a casino, that they were all cannibals.
Mm-hmm.
Not much is known about them other than I think their leader got turned into a Wendigo.
Yeah.
Wendigo. And I'm saying it like that. And
Wendigo ate your baby.
Yeah. I call it Wendigo. I think it's called a Wendigo.
Wendigo, I believe.
Wendigo.
A Wendigo.
A dingo baby.
A dingo ate your baby. Okay, we'll keep going.
Anyways, the trappers who enjoy setting traps and explosives.
Yep.
The Blackwater Bandits who were known for their...
My favorite name.
Their stealth.
Yeah.
And the cutthroats who were like the quintessential run-of-the-mill.
Honorable mention name.
And then the diehards who didn't want to kill innocents... Unless they absolutely had to.
Yeah, so if you go to Red Dead, they're like the Vanderlyn gang. Like, they take stuff, but they try to be reasonable people.
Well, it's like, it's kind of like Snape and Harry Potter, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, God, Snape is so terribly mean, but you know what?
He's got
his
heart's in the right place.
Right. He's not Voldemort.
Yeah. Like, they'll kill if they have to, but they'll spare people.
Yeah. He's fine.
So we just did a lot of, I don't know.
Who is that? Jay Leno? So I had the question. In the way that we play Fallout 76, in the way that it is set up.
Yes.
Philosophically, are we the players raiders?
And that's the thing. In a certain way, I think I am, but I don't think I am.
You don't define.
I think that if any of them,
mm-hmm.
I would be the last group that tends to be more reasonable and sane and not just killing everyone. Because I do loot and I go through and steal and whatever, but I'm not, you know. I'm pretty friendly. I would help. I would think that I would help people.
And so it's what is a raider?
Yeah. Like where do they cross the line into being a raider? Like, what point are you not just trying to survive and then you're like, oh no, I'm a raider.
And so in previous Fallout games, you're either part of a faction.
Yes.
You are part of a town.
Yes.
Or you are like an NPC farmer that lives in Bumbutt somewhere.
Bumbutt, yeah.
And you don't really have much of a motivation when you're out there, but your other people are more connected. Whereas in this game, there are no, there are cities, but there's no... central connection.
Yeah.
And there's people that could self-identify as a faction. So you could self-identify as, I want to play the game like Brotherhood of Steel and wear the armor and I'm going to go do this and take technology from these people. And it goes into the whole thing of are the Brotherhood Raiders and in their own aspect. But within the game, what we do is we're going and we're taking stuff. The stuff that we're getting is not, other than when we have resource extractors, most of the time we're just picking junk up. We're making stuff.
It kind of goes back to the idea of if you look at anyone's perspective, you look at the quote unquote bad guys' perspective from their point of view, the good guys are the bad guys.
Right.
I mean, it becomes, if you watch The Walking Dead from Negan's perspective. From them, all of a sudden, you start looking at Rick and all of these other people as bad people. They're not. They are just as bad in some ways. So then you can start to see them as bad people. So really, yeah, it's like, are the Raiders the bad guys? Like, are they terrible people? Are they, like, you know, what's...
That's kind of what I'm getting at. It's like, originally they had asked the responders to, like, for supplies and stuff, and the responders said, no, we're not helping you. So it's like...
So they were forced into this life.
It's kind of like that, like, Dark Knight-esque thing where the responders kind of made the Raiders because they couldn't help them and they couldn't do...
Exactly.
These tasks and duties.
Pretty much. I mean, it all comes down to that, and... it's like, can you really blame them? I mean, if they're in a situation where they have to start fending for themselves and surviving, that's the thing. And that's one
it's
thing
like
about...
if you were trapped there on a mountain...
You're going to do what you can.
You're like
morals go out the window in a lot of ways.
If the apocalypse happens while I'm at snowshoe skiing...
Yeah.
There's just nothing up there.
It'd be a wonderful place to be stuck there.
I mean, that's true. But there's nothing... like once
in terms
you run
of
out
resources,
of stuff,
you're far away from a lot of stuff. And that's it. That's one of the most fascinating things to me about the thought of post-apocalyptic life and in post-apocalyptic movies and books and whatever, is just like you don't know what it would make you do in situations. Right. I don't think anybody would know until they are thrust into that situation what they're capable of doing that maybe they didn't think they were, and what type of person they might become to survive.
I think that's why The Last of Us is such a popular game, is because that is the whole story of, like, this guy. Like, what this guy lived this normal life, he was doing fine, and then it's like this event happens, and it's like, what does that do to his psyche and his motivations and the people that he knows in the world?
And it just sort of... It's like, man, like some people, a lot of people are not going to be able to survive.
Mm-hmm.
And then some people that maybe in the real world right now, you would look at them and think, oh, there's no way they'd make it.
Right.
Those people would be the ones that are out there just being badasses, doing whatever they want to do.
Right.
And whatever they can do. And it's like, I think that maybe in that situation, I feel like with people, a switch is flipped and they're just like, all right, surviving. And that's, I think, with the Raiders, you look at it and you're like, okay, they had to.
Right. And I think it's interesting that they created this like uneasy alliance between everyone.
Yeah.
And then took all of their valuables, all of the stuff that they like originally came to, put it in a room, locked the door, and gave everybody a piece of the key, essentially.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, pretty much. And going back to like, if we play as Raiders, I mean, at a certain point, I think everybody in that world is kind of a Raider in their own way.
I think that now it's like there's like a line, and it's interesting to be put in Charleston. That's kind of this like, is it a Raider settlement? Is it a responder settlement? It's like, well, it was responder, and then it was Raider, and then it's like,
if you think about it, the responders seem to sort of be gone,
yeah,
and everyone is sort of on their own. So in a way, you are a Raider at that point. Like you are having to get your own supplies and your own help, and you're having to loot through things. And
I think that oftentimes it's like, you know, what are you trying to do within the game? And it's like, if you were purely there to like help people and get together with people, then maybe you're not a Raider.
Yeah.
Like maybe you
can be different things, but I think in the way that we seem to have, well, with you doing the squat and gobble, like that's helping people.
I would go so far as to say that your average, well, I mean, squat and gobble is very much so Raider-esque, where it's like, I'm this crazy mutated man that leaps from rooftops with knives and sells people weird food and drugs.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm like,
that's true. You have a point, but at the same time, you're sort of like in between, I think, because you're helping people. You're not just killing everybody.
It's like, it's selfish in a way.
Here's the thing that I wonder if the game didn't have the PvP system it has, and you could just straight up, rather than if by level, it made it easier to kill another person PvP, rather than where it seems like it's kind of an even playing field.
Yeah, even playing field.
If you had that power, that you knew you were just a bad, bad man, and you could take anybody, would you engage more people PvP?
That's an interesting concept. I think that if that was the game, like base level.
Yeah. Would you just become this man that steals from everyone?
I think maybe at first I think that would be maybe something that I'd be interested in, but then I would still want to do I would still want to function as a merchant within the
right.
game. Like I would still yeah. be there for like making money, and it's like not worth it when everybody's after you. Yeah. You know?
Well, I feel like there would be a lot of people out there that would. They would just go and kill everyone and everything they could. If they knew that they didn't have to be like, oh, well, maybe they have to shoot back and it's going to take their health down mm-hmm. slow. If they could go around and be like, nah, I'm like a level 100. Mm-hmm. These level 10s, I'm going to headshot them and take all their stuff and move on. I think you would see a very dark side to people on Fallout just taking advantage, and you would see that sort of... you'd be able to tell what type of person a person's going to be in the apocalypse.
Yeah.
By like their... How they, if they abuse that power, I guess, to an extent. Because obviously in real life, these people, when they know there are actual consequences, different thoughts are going to go through their head. But it's interesting to think, like, if they did away with that slowed, you know, health drain of PvP. But right. I don't know.
So I kind of wanted to dip into that, like, philosophy a little bit.
Today. I had never really thought about that. I had not thought about who I really, because it is a role-playing game. But the last few weeks have not really thought about who I am in the grand scheme of things. So
this is one of the few games where you get to define, like, you define your role. You yeah. are self-motivated to do, like, there's obviously your mission involves meeting all of these different factions, mm-hmm. but are you like, I mean,
which one are you going to choose?
Technically you're a member of all of them, but technically you're also not really.
Which one do you want to follow the closest, I guess?
Right. So this is a little philosophy, get you thinking.
Yeah.
So my last segment that I have today is I want to talk about our favorite weapons that we've encountered okay. within the game. So I have a few favorites. Right now, I used to play with this like big freaking... You've seen my like...
Yeah.
I need to name it something stupid. Just because
Big Bertha.
That's... Big Bertha, I don't know. I would call it like Diddly Dumfries for all I care. But... I have been really into knives
yeah.
here recently. For me, just like how I played the game, I've gone through rifles, shotguns, pistols, mm-hmm. Heavy guns, explosives, big hammers and baseball bats. But the knives are my favorite.
True.
Just because they're so freaking fast.
Like, yeah,
as I like
slash,
and I was testing it out of like getting a hammer and like seeing how much damage I could do with just the hammer, but mm-hmm. then like and this like the same like equivalent perks for both,
yeah,
and then getting the knives out, and then with the speed that I swing a knife, I do way more damage if I can get those hits in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's more fun when you got this guy that just jumps down.
You seem
like
to have more control with the knife,
yeah,
because with a big huge axe or something, yeah. you know, it's swing, and then swing, you have to wait, like, and then swing, and you're getting hit in yeah. between each one. Mm-hmm. With that knife, if you're powerful enough, it's like pop, 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 done. Like, they yep. don't even get a hit in.
Yeah.
So, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. So, that's been my favorite. What about you? What's your favorite?
So, right I now? Have really been drawn to the combat shotgun.
Mm-hmm.
It's just been the most consistently useful weapon for me.
Yes.
But lately, I've really gotten into, like I told you, the Black Diamond, the ski sword that you get after one of the like raider quests.
I think it's funny that they have ski swords and then we have snowshoe.
Like, yeah.
snowshoe.
So I have done the mod on it with like all of the crazy razor blades instead of the ice skates on the side.
Ah, yes.
Because mm-hmm. it's more, I think it's armor piercing with mm. the razors, whereas mm. the ski... It was just they bleed more, I guess.
Bleed, yeah.
But I've just found that I think I prefer the armor piercing, especially when I'm going up against super mutants and stuff like that. Yeah. But I've loved that. The shotgun has been good. And then, yeah, I feel like in all Fallout games, I've always loved shotguns.
Yeah.
Out of all the guns, I feel like where I've always been more of a running gun, I get closer.
Mm-hmm.
I've had like a glow sighted hunting rifle. And I've done a few mods on it to make it a little more efficient and, you know, faster reloads and a little bit you know, higher magazine capacity, so I don't feel like I'm reloading every 2 seconds. Mm-hmm. And just for more range stuff, that's been pretty good. And that was one I just found, so I've been able to keep that up. But yeah, shotguns and Black Diamond, those are the two I feel like I'm always repairing and making sure I have ready to go.
So yeah. I'm with it. I'm down. So I've got just a few little reader mails, and it's nothing like... No real questions, but just some people that wrote into the podcast. This is from Josh. He says, hello, I've been playing on Xbox One, listening to the podcast to steer me towards picking up a copy on PS4. Hopefully to see you guys in the game and be an active part of the community. Keep up the good work. Hope you guys have a Mothman-filled new year.
Heck yeah, man.
I'm literally pulling these up on my phone. This one is from Kirk. He says, love this podcast. Love to add you guys as friends. And go to the restaurant as well. My tag is PAPG005201. You can rewind that if you want to hear me say it again. I'm not going to say it again, but I'm going to take the time to explain to you that I'm not going to say it again, which is, I guess, whatever. He says, go ahead and add him so that you can play.
I think he sent us. That's who sent us the request today, so we'll have to play with
him. Was it that? Okay.
Yeah, that was him.
If we get friend requests, most of the time... As long as if you just say podcast in the message,
yeah, we'll
or you
it.
Have Austin as a mutual friend,
yeah,
I'll Duke 69 Silver as a mutual friend, yeah. then it's like,
again, yes,
you're cool in
Duke
my book.
Duke 69 Silver,
and I am CHAFI. Nope.
We're gonna start that over.
CHAFINZ.
Yes.
CHAFINZ.
And Duke 69
spelling.
Silver.
And then my wife told me that she was annoyed by me spelling everything out. And I was like, yeah, I bet that is annoying, me having to spell it V-A-U-L-T-W or however.
V-A-U-L-T-B-O-Y-S.
That's why I shortened that intro, is because, you know, every time I'd go to record that intro, it would be like a crazy kerfuffle. And we couldn't get the show started. And it was a wild time. So for today, Austin, that's it. Don't forget to email us your questions at vaultboyswv@gmail.com. Not going to spell that, like I said. Check us out on social media at Vault Boys Pod. We actually changed that. We're on Twitter, Vault Boys Pod. That way you know it's a podcast. And I think on Instagram, we're Vault Boys WV Podcast, which is a mouthful. We're on Facebook. I need to post more on Facebook, so I'm sorry to our... I have not been doing that.
There's just like some person just sitting there.
Well, they like people.
Why
like
have
the
they
Facebook
not posted
page.
On Facebook?
People like the Facebook page, and it's not set up. I don't like the page set up.
Yeah,
it's way easier for me to tweet my own thoughts and stuff into that. Your Twitter handle. What's your Twitter handle?
Twitter
now?
Handle OCONNOR_93.
And I'm CHAFFIN000. That's ZZZ. And I tried to change that to my gamer tag. Somebody already has that. Tried to change it to my name. Somebody already has that.
That's weird.
So I'm stuck with being very sleepy for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Let's see. From Holler to Highway. Guess what? We've got you covered 6 ways of Sunday. Tune in next week for more talk radio on your favorite Appalachian station. And may the wisest Mothman bless you as you travel these country roads.
Raiders. We are good.
Hello!
Take this. Speak into the mic.